Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I am Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls, who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, how are you feeling?
Okay, so I've been sick this week. I know, like, we all, like, get on men for being, like, such babies when they're sick, but I know that I'm a baby. Like,
yeah.
I just can't deal with it. And so, like, I get upset. I get pissed off at being sick because I'm like, I have things to do. Like, fuck you, body. Get with it. Mm-hmm. And I think my body, like, doesn't appreciate that, so it just rebels against me even more. So,
yeah, and this is, like,
war.
It's awful. And this is such a weird time because you got these, like, crazy temperature swings, which I always feel like I get sick when it's, like, 50 in the morning and then 90 in the afternoon, because the human body, it's just not meant to deal with 40-degree swings in one day.
The extremes. I don't think we're built for that.
No.
And, like, it's been terrible down here. Like, it's been in the 90s, like, on the weekend, and then it'll dip into the 70s. I mean, it's just...
I'm super over it. Like, just let me break out my sweaters. It's all I want right now.
Oh, my God. H&M is having their fall sale.
I was looking at that yesterday. Ooh, yeah. I know. I did, like, earlier this month, I, like, splurged on a really nice kind of, like, brown tweed blazer, and I'm a little bit obsessed with it, and I'm, like, ready to wear it all the time, but it's 100 degrees outside, so I can't.
I know. It's so annoying.
Very. So for our small talk today, I wanted to ask you, because I feel like it sort of says a lot about a person. This week, I sort of realized that the people at Barnes & Noble really know me well. Like... Like, I showed up and, like, the girl at the cafe was like, oh, hey, I heard your voice and wanted to come talk to you about books. I'm like, all right, cool. And then another woman in the store was like, oh, did you go talk to Leah in the cafe? And, you know, and I was like, yeah. And she was like, have you read anything good lately? I'm like, yeah. And it's just like, all right, I don't know how. I mean, I go to Barnes & Noble probably a lot. Like, I know it's a corporation and I know we should be supporting indie bookstores. And I do. But there's something that's so, like, nostalgic and nice about going to Barnes & Noble that I just, I can't stay away.
I used to go there, like, all the time when I was, like, in my teens.
Yes.
And, like, it was at the mall. And so that was, like, the only bookstore I could really, like, make it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I was thinking about, like, other places that I'm a regular, and I have Barnes & Noble, and then I have this dive bar in my town because I go there every Wednesday for trivia. And, like, the bartender, she knows my order, and it's like, all right, are you having a regular? And so I was curious if there was any places near you where you're like, they know me there, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I mean, you should expect that because, you know, my, like, addiction to caffeine.
Listen, I get it.
It's really funny. So I have been sick. So I, like, kind of changed up my order this weekend to, like, usually I get, like, a latte with, like, soy milk. And I, like, cut out the soy just because, like, there's hormones in it. Probably not going to help me when I'm sick. Mm. And I went to whole milk, and I get up to the...
Ooh, but dairy when you're sick, though. Ooh.
Dude, I know, but I can't, like, do... I'm sorry. Almond milk is just not the same.
It's not.
So I go up to the window, and she, like, comes over, and she's like, hey, girl. Like, hey, you know. And she's like, Did you get the latte with just, did you not want soy milk? And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, okay, well, let me, like, remake it then. So, like, I hadn't, like, said any kind of milk. So I just said the latte, because, like, if you just say the latte, they're just going to give you regular milk. And, yeah, so she put soy milk in it, and I felt so bad.
That's so nice,
I just like
though.
Hung my head in shame. I gave her like a cash tip. I was like, girl, I am so sorry. I'm like changing it up this and it's not fair to you.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you know. Yeah, they're so sweet. I mean, like coffee shop people in general, I feel like have a personality that's just like, you have to have a certain like air about you to work at a coffee shop, especially like early in the morning coffee shop people.
Yeah.
They're the best.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I worked in a coffee shop, and it's like,
I should have recognized that about you, Alyssa.
I've got the coffee shop vibe. Yeah, no, it's like, it's the best, and I don't know, like, being a regular somewhere is so, it's such like a nice, small way of being known, and I really like that. I don't know, it's just, it's nice.
Do you think it, like, says something, though, about, like, as you get older, you, like, are looking for more, like, okay, so when I was, like, a teenager or, like, in college, like, I would have, like, been like, ugh, I don't want to be a regular anywhere because that means I go somewhere all the time and I want to go to new places.
Yeah.
But when you get older, you're, like, there's that routine, there's that, like, comfort, and then there's also, like, that connecting with people because, like, it's hard to, like, make new friends as an adult. You know
what
I mean?
Like, it's super hard. You have to, like,
really...
My coffee
shop people are some of my closest friends.
Yeah. You really have to, like, put yourself out there because making friends as an adult is terrible. Like, I've recently, like, started hanging out more with people that I met through my book club, and I really had to, like, overcome, like, feeling kind of like a creep and be like, hey, I've, like, noticed your discussion topics are really good. Can we, like, hang out outside of book club? And I did it to two people, and they were both like, yes, I wanted to do the same thing. And it was just, like, you really had to put yourself out there in a way that I feel like... It's so much easier when you're in school and can just be like,
yes.
Hey, let's, you know, do our homework together and then we'll
let's work on this
keep hanging
project
out forever.
Together. Yeah, exactly.
So
it's much, much more difficult.
It feels a lot like asking people out on a date, you know, because you're just like, hey, you want to like hang out? I don't know. And it's just it's awkward, but it's worth it. But it's super awkward.
Yeah. You have to like come like get over that barrier of like, you know, like you're just so worried about like your self-image and like getting rejected.
Sure.
And, it's the worst.
Yeah, but I 100% agree on like the routine kind of thing. Like I, you know, occasionally like on the weekends I'll like to try out a new bar with my friends or whatever, but mostly I'm just like, can we just go to like the one that we know where I can get a $5 vodka tonic and call it a night? Like,
and I know they make it the way I want it made.
Exactly. Like I know I'm gonna like it. I'm not gonna waste a bunch of money on a fancy cocktail that I'm really not gonna enjoy. And it's just, yeah, sometimes you just want that familiarity, and that I think comes with age, you know, like you just age. As I say that like I'm some like wizened old woman, but every time I go to a new bar though I feel like a wizened old woman. I'm like,
oh,
are these children like adults? None of these people can rent a car. Like, why am I here, you know?
Yeah, that's, you know what, that should be the marker for like any bar that you go into. If you like notice that at least half the patrons cannot rent a car, get out of there.
Get out
because it's just too much. And like I live in a college town, so it is very difficult.
Yeah.
Like, do not go out on the weekend. Don't go out on Thursdays. Like, try a Monday or Tuesday. Those are your best bets. And I really resent the college kids for making me like plan out my bar nights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So annoying.
I 100% agree. So anyway. All right. Well, there's not really a, like, easy way to segue into the episode, but let's do it.
Let's just throw them in there.
Season two.
We baby you guys too much. You know what I mean? Like, we're just going to chuck you to the
Whiplash.
Wolves.
It's fine. Season two, episode 4, The Last Kingdom. Let's get
Here
into
we are.
It. Yeah.
I can't believe we've made it. No.
I know.
So we open up on a sex scene.
Uhtred and Gisla, not wasting any time.
Definitely not. Again, with the dirty fingernails.
I know.
You're in the city now, dude. Go take a bath. I get it.
You know, you're calling out the fingernails, and I'm going to be rude and call out Uhtred's hair right now because this
bob
is not his best look. It's rough. And he's also rocking a middle part for a lot of this episode. And a middle part is impossible. Like, if you're not Gwyneth Paltrow, don't bother, because it's not going to look good. And I'm just like, Uhtred, I know there are better hair days ahead, but this one is giving me pause.
Yeah, there's, it's like really, it's a rat's nest like underneath. It looks like it has not been brushed. And I think it's like, so the middle part, because it's like so full at the bottom, it's weighing it down on the top. And so it's like, there's no volume there.
Yeah.
Like, Uhtred, if you're going to do a middle part, you've got to get the volume going.
Right.
So, yeah, the hygiene and the hair really threw me off this episode.
Right.
Thankfully, you know, we had Ragnar and...
Ragnar and Brita being beautiful. I love him so much.
He's
but yeah,
best.
Yeah, like this episode, it's like everybody's in it right away.
Yes.
Like Uhtred and Gisla, they're like planning on getting married, and Uhtred is sworn to Alfred, so he's got to like go do stuff, but he can't kill Guthred, which is a bummer because nobody deserves it more than Guthred at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like, they don't have a minute to catch their breath, you know? Like, as soon as this episode starts, like, they're plotting to go and kill Kjartan and take back Dunholm for Wessex. And, you know, before they go, Uhtred and Gisla are like, hey, we need to lock this down, because she is still, like, you know, people know she's with Uhtred, but she's still, like, this prominent lady who has... tactical value. So she's like, you can't leave me here because Alfred's going to marry me off to someone, which is fair. Like, Gisla reads Alfred right away knows that he's not above using anybody as a pawn. So yeah, Uhtred goes to Bjarka and is like, hey, I want to do this. Mildreth is in the convent. Like, it's fine.
It's and cool, dude.
It's cool. And Bjarka's like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll do this, even though, like, you're so wishy-washy about love, Uhtred, but it's fine.
My God, I loved that. Like, Bjarka was like, you just love, I think you just love love, but whatever.
Right. I mean, like he's
that's
not
like such
wrong.
A good read.
Like, this is, you know, girl but, number four I mean, that he's been in love with in, you know, a dozen episodes. So
I think though, like, Gisla is the real deal for him.
Sure.
And I think she is someone who, like, she compliments him very well, but she's also strong enough to, like, stand up to him, and, you know, their relationship, like, goes on, which is really nice. And so I thought it was really lovely to kind of see them get married. I totally forgot that we get to see them. I forgot so much about the show. Because we just raced through it.
We and raced so through it. It's good. I really enjoyed, like, taking it bit by bit again.
And, yes, yeah, you know. Taking our time.
Two can defend themselves. A cord of three is not so quickly broken. Now that you are bound together, Uhtred and Gisla, I can declare you man and wife.
I loved seeing them get married. It was so sweet. Like,
yeah.
It was like a really nice moment, and you could tell like it meant a lot to them both. And yeah, I feel like it's like nice to see Uhtred like not just saying shit and doing things just
right.
to get away.
There was a moment right after their wedding when he says, now I will never be taken from you. And I really liked that it sort of flipped the dynamic of her belonging to him, you know,
yeah.
Like he's hers and he acknowledges that. And he wants to make sure that she is secure in their relationship in a way that it's not like, hey, you're mine now. It's more like, hey, I'm yours. Don't forget that. And I think that's really beautiful. I really liked that.
I think the whole wedding itself was for her. I mean, she was concerned, like she aired those concerns and he listened to her and he was like, OK, I'm going to do this for you because I don't want you to like feel like in any way in danger while I'm gone. And I know I have to go because I've told Alfred I will. And he's got all this shit on me. And so. Yeah, it was even the reason why they get married. Obviously, they love each other, but like
it's for her security.
It's for her, and I really liked that. You know.
Yeah, I think, like you said, like Gisla and Uhtred are the real deal, and I think you can see how much he's like learned and grown since his previous marriage because he's very much concerned with how this helps her instead of how this helps himself, and I think that's a real turning point for our boy. So. It's good.
Good job, Uhtred.
But yeah, so like they hit the road and they've got to go and like get rid of Siegfried and Eric in order to sort of get Guthrid to join their cause. And, you know, I kind of love it whenever they do these like the shadow walks when they go and try and like kill him in their sleep and stuff. But this time it doesn't go exactly to plan. And I think it's kind of funny, you know, how they have to take Athelwold with them because Alfred wants him to be like his emissary. Mostly, I think he wants Athelwold to die, which I think Athelwold knows that too.
He just like sends him off like, with like this
please
symbol.
Just die.
I love that he gave him this like, here's a symbol of my kingship, which is basically like the mirror that comes in like a Barbie set.
Right.
Like it was just so fucking tiny. It's like, here's what people are going to respect when they see you.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you are sending this man off to just, you know, kick the bucket. Yeah.
Exactly. It's good. But at the same time, like Athelwold is a pretty good tactician, you know, like even though we hate him and he's such a D-bag, but like,
again, he's smart, man.
He's smart. And I think he sort of hides how smart he is a lot of the time. So he's the one who's able to figure out, like, which tent is probably Siegfried. And, you know, so they go in. It's, like, Uhtred and Finan and Steappa, I think, who are the ones that go in. And Ragnar stays behind. And I love the brotherly bond between Uhtred and Ragnar because he knows that it's for the best because if they both die, they're totally fucked. But at the same time, he feels such reticence to, like, let Uhtred go alone. And that dynamic, it kills me.
I know. I love their friendship. I love their like, bond that they have. And, like, I feel like it speaks a lot about, like, Ragnar especially, because Uhtred was just a little brat when he first met him. He was, like, supposed to be a slave, and then his dad, like, got soft and was like, okay, you can be part of the family. And it's like, Ragnar could have easily just not accepted him, could have hated him, could have treated him terribly.
Yeah.
And, like, he never did that. And now they've grown up, and they've grown up kind of separately because Ragnar was off trying to like make his way.
Yeah.
And there's still that bond and that connection. I don't know. Ragnar's just a good dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone better than Ragnar on this show.
You know, I think that argument could hold water for sure. Uhtred goes and he attacks Siegfried, but I kind of thought the scene was kind of funny. Like, he really underestimates the woman who's there in Siegfried's bed. Like, he just kind of walks past her, leaves her supposedly asleep, and is ready to go, like, stab Siegfried while he's like taking a piss or whatever in the back of the tent. But she just like comes up behind him and wallops him with a hammer. Like I guess it's more of like a mallet.
It's huge
and wooden, and she just beats the shit out of Uhtred with
it. It's like one of those like mallets that you go to like a county fair and you're trying to like
prove your strength
up to the top. So you know that hurt. And yeah, I loved it. I was like, you don't need to like look past the women anymore, dude. Like if she's like kicking it with Siegfried, like she's probably a badass.
Right.
You know?
These are Viking women. They will fuck the shit up. So don't turn your back on them.
And it turns out, you know, obviously that alerts Siegfried to what's going on, and him and Uhtred kind of tussle.
Have a scuffle, yeah.
Have a little wrestling match.
Tussle. That's such a gentle word to describe what goes on in that tent.
Like, they're biting each other's arms and, like, trying to, like, squish each other's eyes in, and, like, it's pretty, like, down and out. Like, it's rough.
Yeah. It's a fight to the teeth, and Uhtred eventually does sort of get the upper hand, but he's basically alerted the entire camp at this point. It wasn't exactly the covert ops that he was hoping for.
Not so stealth.
No. But he gets the upper hand over Siegfried and sort of drags him out into the square and is like, hey, I'm going to kill the shit out of your brother if you don't, you know, get out of England. And Eric does, you know, he loves his brother. Like, these dudes are pretty evil, but like, there's definitely a real kinship between these brothers too. And he cuts off Siegfried's hand, which, yikes, just like chopping through bone like that.
His sword hand.
And so he's like, all right, get out of here, take your boat and leave. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Name your price. will be done. I swear. I give you my word.
Kill him and you kill yourself.
Your word? I swear. Believe me.
You will take one ship and you will leave Northumbria. One ship. You will not return.
For my brother's life, this is done.
But first we have to cauterize the wound,
first we
so
have
I'm
going
to put my brother's hand into the fire.
Just stick his stump right in the fire. It is, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It was tough times back then. Again, we would not have survived.
Because that's the first thing Eric thinks of. Right. We were literally just talking about, like, you know, going to Barnes & Noble and getting lattes. Like, we would never survive.
I literally, like, changed soy to, like, dairy because I thought maybe that would help me get over a cold.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I'm not the person that's going to be like, yeah, let's put my stump in the fire to, like, save my life.
Nope.
Even though it does not go to plan, as most of Uhtred's kind of schemes, it works out in the end.
Sort of.
As they always do.
Right.
And they end up coming back to Guthred, to Efferwich, and kind of making a gift of
the hand,
Siegfried's hand, and
throws it right onto Guthred's dinner. Man, yikes! Disgusting.
That's what he deserves.
It's true. And like Guthred, he's so embarrassingly spineless. You know what I mean? Like the second Uhtred shows up, he's like, oh, yay, I'm so glad you're alive. Aren't you glad I didn't kill you outright? We're friends, right? I'm like, dude, you sold him into slavery. At least like stand by it. You know, that's the thing. If you're going to be evil, I feel like this is a thing I say a lot. If you're going to be evil, stand by it. You know, like just own it. But
back your shit up.
Right. Guthred kind of wants to play both sides and be like, we're still buds, right? Even though I basically ruined your life for a couple of years, it's fine. And I'm like, dude, no, it's really not.
What you did to me, what you did to Halik, I can never forget. I shall never forgive.
Bro, you sold him into like slavery and his best friend at the time died. Like,
right.
Sit down.
I know.
You're done.
Yeah. When he, you know, when he brings up Halig and is like, I can never forget and I shall never forgive. I'm like,
I was like, oh,
yikes. That is.
Took me right back to the front of that boat.
Devastating. And that's such, you know, that's classic Uhtred. Like, he's not going to forget the people that he's met and have aided him along the way. And I really love that about him. But Jesus, Guthred, read the room.
Come on, man. Oh, you know what, though? I do want to talk about. When they come into the hall and Uhtred makes a gift of Siegfried's hand and he's told Beoka, he's like, do not speak. I'm going to do the talking.
Yeah.
And of course, like
of
our
course.
Little priest still tries to get in a word. And it's like everyone's trying to shut him up. And at one point, Ragnar like tells him, he's like, Beoka? He's just like gives him like this look and this like quick like little shout and
Ryoko right.
like backs down and I'm just like, ugh. I just love when the Ragnarssons are like together and united and on the same side. There's just like ugh.
Everything is better when they're
pulling
out.
Right.
Ugh,
yeah.
I love it so much. But yeah, and you know, I think it's interesting later that day, you know, sort of after they've been like, all right, Guthred, like, we're going to go take care of Kjartan, but we need your men to do it. I think Brita makes a really good point. She talks about how, you know, Guthred is not a man that these people are going to follow, you know, like he's not a man that these Danes that they've brought with them are going to want to fight for. And I think that's Brita is just, she's so savvy. And I feel like people don't always notice that. Finn noticed that because he's the best, but like,
oh my god,
Brita, I've missed her and her sort of, she's so cutthroat in a way that I just admire because she knows, she always reads the room correctly and she always chooses the most hardcore way to deal with it.
Yeah, there's a point where like Beoka's like, do you like think nothing or do you
ever
always
tire
think
of
menace or something?
Yes, yeah. I loved that. Do you ever tire of menace? And she's like nope.
I do not. I love it. Yeah, she's a survivor.
Exactly.
And that like comes through in everything that she does. And I love that like Finnan like appreciates that. I mean like he compliments her. He's like, she's got the balls of a bear. And I'm like, I wish someone would compliment me that way. Like, if someone came up to me and was like, you've got the balls of a bear, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's be friends.
Yes.
No, I love Brita. I love that people, I mean, it's funny because for someone like Bioka, she's very rude and she's insulting and he like can't understand why she is the way she is. Mm-hmm. But for these like men who have been hardened by battle and who've had to like really survive and stuff, they see like they're equal in her. And I really like that. I like that she's like given this opportunity and this like environment where that's why she chose the Viking way of life. She knew that she would be appreciated and respected, and she is.
Yeah.
And I like that we get to see that. Like, we get to see the aftermath or whatever of her choice to go that way. Because I think we also see in Bioka, like, if she had stayed with Uhtred, we see what she would have been thought of as, and how she would have been treated. And it just, yeah, I'm just so glad Brita made the right choice.
She did. And I think there's a real sort of juxtaposition, because we see a little bit more about Uhtred and what it means for him to be back in Alfred's service and sort of rejecting the Dane way of life, when Athelwold basically tells him, like, look, you are the weapon that Alfred is going to use to build his kingdom. And so we have to do what Alfred wants, and you're just going to have to deal with that. Like, you've signed on for this. He knows your value. He's never going to show you that, but he knows that he needs you. And so because of that, we need to make Guthred the king in the north. Phrase is ruined by Game of Thrones forever. But, like, he needs to be the king of the northern part of England. And, you know, I think Uhtred kind of being reminded of that and what he's given up in order to be, you know, working for Alfred, I think is kind of sobering. Although we forgot to mention at the beginning of the episode when Ragnar is like, why did you do this? How could you shackle yourself to Alfred again? And he's like, I have my reasons. I'm like, oh, your reasons are because you love Ragnar.
Okay, so here is one of the, like, tropes that I fucking hate that, like, I mean, it pops up literally everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, a character is, like, asked, like, a straightforward question. They could answer and, like,
everything
not
would
have
be
this, like, tension between someone they love or care about or whatever. It would be fine.
Right.
But they choose not to. They choose to be vague.
Mm.
And so it creates this, like, this unneeded, like, animosity or whatever. You know what I mean? And
right.
Eventually, like, it usually happens with, like, romantic couples where, like, the guy could say why he, like, didn't show up that night, but he's, like, doing it to protect her or whatever. Like, it takes, like, a whole book for them to finally get together.
So many plot twists could be, like, resolved in a couple of minutes if characters just communicated.
Just speak the fuck up. Just answer the question. He even, like, keeps going. It's not like Ragnar, like, it's just like, all right, whatever. He's like, I would really like to hear those reasons, dude.
Yeah.
And Uhtred is still like, no, lips, like, are sealed.
Like, Ragnar probably wouldn't have handled it super well. Like, I think he would have taken on a lot of guilt in terms of, you know, Uhtred making the sacrifice for him. But I don't know. I just, like, just tell him. Uhtred does not, you know, sort of spare anybody's feelings when he talks to Guthred again. When Guthred comes out and is like, hey, are we cool? Like, he tells him he's afraid, and he was afraid that Uhtred was going to take his power and that he was really the king that was promised. And, you know, Uhtred's like, man, I told you that I would serve you, you know, like, he told him everything. But yeah, Guthred is just, he was so insecure that it drove him to, you know, sort of screw over Uhtred in a way that really damaged the relationship beyond repair. But yeah, like, Uhtred straight up slaps him in the face, which, you know, I think that's a bit of that power that Guthred was worried about. And he tells him, hey, I'm married to your sister now. She is my wife. So
boom, bitch, mic drop.
Right. I thought of that bit in John Mulaney's last special where he's like, that's my wife! And it's like, all I could think about when Uhtred was talking about her as his wife. I'm like, ugh, I love it.
It felt so satisfying because that was, like, one of the, I mean,
sticking
there was
points between them. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it felt like a really nice, like, fuck you to be like, you know what? We did it anyway. And
right.
We're really happy. And you're stuck up here, like, suspecting everyone of taking your throne. So
yeah. Yeah. And Guthred is like, you know, all right, great, that's fine, I'm happy for you. And then, because, like, what else is he going to say, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think it was really just so shitty when he pulls the I still consider you my greatest friend kind of thing. And I'm like, man, you don't. I understand that, like, being a king is hard and you have to make cutthroat decisions. But, like, don't screw over your friends like that. Like, don't sell your friends into slavery. That seems like a bare minimum to, like, you know, friendship. But, yeah, I just, he's so spineless. I just, ugh, I'm ready to be done with him.
He was not made for this position that he's been thrust into. And I think it shows, like, every time we see him, he gets more and more paranoid and more, like, kind of protective of what he has. And again, maybe this is because he was brought up a slave. I get it. I get that how that molds you and, like, you know, fucks with your psyche. But you have to also, like, think as, like, you have to think as a king. Like, yes, Uhtred is a very capable warrior. He inspires people to follow him. But he's never going to have the backing of Alfred and of the people that matter, like, to be able to take your throne and actually keep it. You know what I mean? And so the smart thing to do is to align yourself with this guy, keep him happy, give him things that he wants, like, build that friendship and that trust so that, you know, like, connect yourself with him, like, have your sister marry him, then your family, then it becomes even harder. You know what I mean? It's just, like, do these things to, like, really make yourself indispensable to him and make him, like, a part of your life in such a way that he couldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, you talk about how you wouldn't survive back then, but that was, you know, you really know how to bolster your allies. So maybe you
would
do
be
okay.
An Ethelwald. I think I'd be like, I'm half in, half out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, when the time came, I might have something, like, useful to say.
Yeah.
But every other, like, 99% of the time, I'm just, like, drunk and, like, sleeping with the pigs. I know myself.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fair. So, yeah, you know, Guthred, he does give him the men to go and kill Kjartan because he wants him out of the north. So, yeah, they, like, set off to go and finally take back Dunholm and kill these assholes. Uhtred, he's got his eyeliner on, so you know he means business.
Woo! Looking like an extra member of, like, Panic at the Disco.
Yes.
Just rocking it.
Uhtred and Brendan Urie, the team up I didn't know that I needed. So, yeah, like, they set off, and it's just, you see so many relationships just really highlighted. You know, I love that we're, like, talking about these big battles, but we're like, but the friendships,
the
relationships.
Guys. yeah.
But, yeah, like, you see, like, he and Ragnar are like, all right, we're finally getting to do this thing that has been haunting us for so long. And then you see Hild right by Uhtred's side, like, just through the whole thing.
These men won't fight the brothers for a third.
We need the Turd's army to take Dunholm.
So why not kill the Northmen, then kill the Turd? Take Efferwich and its army for yourself.
I don't want Efferwich. All I want is Kjartan's heart on the end of my sword and to see my sister.
We will need Guthred's army.
But yeah, you know, they have a pretty good plan. Like, they're going to send in this battering ram as sort of a distraction to draw Kjartan to the gate. And then Uhtred and some of his team are going to take, you know, this sort of side door, which right. seems like I understand, like, you need to have multiple doors to get in and out of your castle. But, like, this seems like a really bad idea. Like, it you know, having this, like, sort of semi-secret door that's pretty easily, you know, breached. That feels yeah. like a design flaw to me.
Yeah, it's very strange to me that it's like, not only that that exists, okay, because, like, so maybe I'm wrong, but Kjartan didn't build this place, did he? Like,
I don't think so. He took it.
So maybe that was left by the other owners. You don't know what you're going to get, you know, when you, like, take over someone's castle.
But at least have, like, a guard on it.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, fortify it. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I know you need fresh water, but, like, people could go out the front door and
right.
go to the side. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, it's just, it is a strange, like, thing that I was just like, this feels like more like a plot device, like, having this be available than.
That's fair.
Like, I don't know if, Kjartan's a smart dude, I think, like, at least when it comes to that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it works in our favor, so I'm not going to complain too much about it.
Right. Like, Hild and Uhtred and Beaka and their dudes, like, they breach that door, they get in, and then Steappa, like, rips down the gate by himself to let everybody else in. It's a pretty rad moment.
I like Steappa, man.
Yeah, he doesn't say a lot, but he's always there to just really follow through on the missions. And plus, he's like tight with Athelflaed, and I love her.
Yeah,
so.
They're like best friends.
Right. Anybody who's, you know, good to our future queen is good with me.
Yeah, 100%.
So they get in, and Ragnar is like 100% on a mission. Like, he's ready to fuck up Kjartan's whole deal. And so he's focused on finding him, and Uhtred is at his side. And, you know, before they get to Kjartan, we have this moment where, like, Sven is like, oh, shit, people are coming. This is bad. So he goes to find Tira, but Tira finds him first. And she's got her hounds that are extra hungry.
Yeah, because you told her not to feed them.
You told her not to feed them, but you didn't know. This is exactly.
We're going to be their dinner.
This is like exactly what happened with Sansa Stark and Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, my God. I know. And I know that it is like basically like, you know, taking from that and just doing it here. But I don't care because anytime.
Which came first? Because season 6 of Game of Thrones was when Ramsay bit the bullet. And I can't remember which one came first.
Let's do some research.
But also, because here's the thing. Like, what book was written first? Like, have they even gotten to that point? I don't read the Game of Thrones books. So I don't
read those.
I don't know. Like, have they even gotten to, like, a Battle of the Bastards moment on that show yet? I don't know if they have. But I know in the book, like, these books were already written. And I think this took place in book 4?
So season 6 of Game of Thrones happened in 2016. Season 2 of The Last Kingdom happened in 2017.
Okay. Well, you know what? I can watch bad dudes get eaten by hounds at the hands of
Yeah, it doesn't matter
women.
To me.
Right.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
They're both great.
As long as we get to see
bad
like rapists eaten by dogs.
There we go. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Right.
I really could care less. I would like more of those. Any show that you could logically, or not even logically, if you just want to put in a scene of an asshole getting eaten by dogs while, like, a woman just, like, stares on, like, with a little smirk on her face.
Right.
I'm fine with it.
Maybe,
doesn't have to make sense.
Maybe on Succession, Marsha will feed Logan to some hounds. I would not hate that.
Yeah, no. So she shows up and
takes out Sven,
unleashes her dogs, and they take out Sven. It was such a lovely,
a good moment,
fist pumping moment.
Also, his dad saw it happen and couldn't do anything. I liked that moment of like impotency on Kjartan's part. I liked that. I was glad that he suffered doubly here.
Yeah, like we know, you know, like you're probably gonna have to like fight for your life. You're gonna die, but then to see your son killed in such a brutal way, that's just like. It's so deflating, and I loved it. Like, that's exactly what he deserved.
Yeah.
And it's very rare, I think, on any show, but on this show, too, like, that bad characters get exactly what they deserve. So, really, like, appreciate this moment, guys.
Yeah, it's good. Team Uhtred sort of backs Kjartan and his men into a corner, and they know that they can't win. But they decide that it's going to come down to Ragnar and Kjartan fighting one-on-one. So they make the square.
Gotta make the square.
Gotta make the square. I love it when they make the square. And
I love when they just yell that they're going to make the square.
And everybody just knows. They're like, make the square. I'm like, hell like, yeah. Oh, yep. It's about to get real good. Kjartan immediately starts talking shit about baby Ragnar and, like, telling him about his whore sister, and it's just awful. And they just, like, you know, it's a pretty brutal fight.
It is. I mean, there's so much rage and so much bitterness and so much history between these two that it's just, I mean, it's just the feeling of it alone. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah.
But just the when they're like they start going at each other, you just know, like, it's going to it's not going to end well. I mean, it's not going to be a clean death for whoever dies, you know?
It really isn't. And, you know, like, Ragnar eventually gets the upper hand and he takes his sword away so that Kjartan has no shot at Valhalla. And he just, like, he stabs the shit out of him. Like,
loses it, dude.
When Brita looks disturbed by how you're killing, that's how you know that, yikes.
You've crossed the line.
Yeah, you've like gone to the darker side there.
I mean, he stabs him with his sword, then he throws his sword away, gets out a little baby knife and just keeps stabbing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then he's crying and screaming at this like corpse and he's covered in his blood and it's like,
it's a lot. And you know, like Brita's watching and she's clearly like, yikes. You know, Citric is watching, and this is technically his father who's being stabbed. Mm. So it's like, but, you know, there's no love lost there. So that's a cathartic moment for him. But then Uhtred steps in, and it's like, all right, he's dead. He's dead. And, ugh, brothers embracing.
It was heartbreaking. Because I feel like, and I think that's why everyone was a little shocked, because Ragnar is such a, like, jovial, like, easygoing dude.
And
like,
he's
a Viking and he kills people, but he's very, like, mellow and he jokes around and he just seems like a
composed,
like, well-adjusted man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so to see that he's been harboring this inside of him after, because of the way his family died and, you know, probably the guilt that he wasn't there. And like, it's just, it broke my heart. I don't care that he's covered in someone's blood. I just wanted to like cuddle him and like tell him it would all be fine and make it all go away.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's that moment where Tyra comes out and she has been through so much. And I think they realized that in a way before they see her. But then I don't think they were expecting quite this level of trauma for her. And I think that breaks them a little bit because she's not like, oh, thanks for saving me. Tyra's like, I've been here for years. What have you been doing and why have you left me here for so long? You know, because like people have told her they didn't know, but there's still that feeling of they should have known, you know?
Yes. And I mean, it's a, like, I feel like that's a Viking thing too. I mean, she's obviously like connected. The way she controls these dogs, like, there's just, you would think
there's
a connection.
There. Yeah.
There's a connection between like her brothers and her, you know, her family. Like, you should know if like your sister died, you should feel that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, she's angry at them because they, you know, she feels like they left her. And Bayaka kind of steps in and is like, you know, they've been looking for you. Don't worry. I'm a friend too. And I think the fact that Bayoko was the first one to, like, step in and be, like, kind to her, I think is really important.
And I think it matters, too, like, that Bayoko is just completely different from any man she's ever interacted with. You know what I mean? From her father to her brothers to the men that have held her. They've all been Vikings. They've all been warriors. They've all, you know, like, he just has such a different air about him. And I think she recognizes that right away just because she's been so abused by these other kind of men. And it's so interesting because, so, you know, like, her and Brita are sisters and they've grown up the same way. And yes, like, Thera's been like abused, but it's almost like she's choosing this Saxon kind of man to like help her get through this. And like Brita chooses like the Viking. It's just interesting to see what appeals to like each woman because of like what they've been through.
Yeah. And I think, Tyra was raised, I think, in a bit more traditional way than Brita was, because Brita was, you know, she was off with the boys and, you know, she wasn't like a, you know, an official daughter. So she wasn't, you know, trained to be a wife, you know, like that wasn't part of her upbringing, was to become, you know, I mean, I know it's a little bit different with the Danes, but they're, you know, they're still gentle ladies, you know, in the Danish culture. And so that, you know, there's a lot of differences in how they were raised. But yeah, I can definitely see why someone like Bayoka, you know, we give him a lot of shit, but he is like a generally like peaceful, gentle man. And to sort of have that presented as an option for who she wants to spend her time with instead of these Vikings who have, you know, put her through hell, like, it 100% makes sense that she would, you know, be drawn to that kind of energy instead of, you know, war.
Yeah, sometimes you just want a nice boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, she, you know, she does decide to go with Uhtred back to Wessex instead of going or staying with Breda and Ragnar in the north, which I think is, you know, makes sense to me too, because why would she want to stay there? You know, she was put through hell there. Like, obviously she's gonna, you know, leave Dunholm and never look back.
Yeah, gotta get out of Dodge, man. That place holds too many bad memories.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of sad when Ragnar, you know, he obviously wants Uhtred to stay on with him, but Uhtred is like, dude, I'm tired. I need some peace. I need my woman. I need to go. And yeah. So he's, you know, he is Alfred's man. So even though, you know, they're so close to Bebbanburg and they have the upper hand, he's like, I just don't have that in me right now.
Honestly, though, that felt like such a moment of, like, growth for him, because sure. The old Uhtred would have just, like, barreled on, would not have, like,
considered taken his bond to Alfred at all and just gone for
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't have considered Alfred, wouldn't have considered his wife back home, wouldn't have considered even himself and, like, the state he was in. And the fact that he is just like, yeah, I just want to go home and chill. Like, that speaks a lot to, like, how far he's come. And
he doesn't want to try new bars either. He just wants to go to his regular spots.
His regular shops.
Yes, bringing it back around.
There's that segue we were looking for. Just came a little late.
Right.
So Uhtred kind of makes the decision to go back to Wessex. And
yeah.
We have to witness yet another Ragnarsson goodbye, and I fucking hate it.
I know, and this one's a big one, too, because, you know, they've been on different sides of the fight, and, you know, there's always that bond just because they're brothers, but the biggest thing between them was, we need to avenge our family. So having that, you know, sort of as a future date, we're going to do this together, and that is something that unites us, that's gone now, you know? And so their bond is a little bit weaker. Like, yes, there's still that familial love there and that'll always be there, but they don't have that combined purpose anymore. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, it definitely makes, like, everything else with them, like, uncertain. So, you know, like, when are we going to see each other again? What's it going to be like when we see each other? Are you going to be, like, full-on Dane and I'm going to be, like, full-on Alfred's man? Like, it's just, there's a lot of questions that are kind of left up in the air when they part. And so, like, it makes the you know, the goodbyes very sad and kind of bittersweet, and also kind of charged with this, like, question of what's it going to be like the next time we see each other, if we see each other, you know? Yeah. So it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I cried a lot in this episode.
So it's an intense one. It's an intense one, that's for sure.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've gotten through the thick of it. So let's reward ourselves. It's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for the upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you want to see next?
You know, like we said, we're in uncharted territory now, y'all. Mm. Like, Uhtred and Ragnar have completed their quest, so we kind of have a moment to breathe, you know? Like, Uhtred has his woman, and he has his service to Alfred, so he can go back to, you know, chilling out, being an elderman, and sort of building his new life. You know, how he wants it to be, sort of. You know, he's still got his, you know, he's still sworn fealty to Alfred, but I think he can, you know, go and start to build something for himself. And I'm looking forward to, you know, sort of seeing his core crew come together in earnest. You know, like, he's got Hild, he's got Finan, he's got Sitric. This, like, I hate that he's leaving behind Ragnar, but this found family is, like, so beautiful, and I can't wait to see them come together more.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like, it feels like a turning point for the show in a way. And sure. I think, you know, we've taken care of some business. We've, like, stabbed the shit out of Kiartan. You know, things are pretty good. So now it's time to, like, move forward. And I think, you know, normally for Uhtred, that would mean Bebbanburg and taking back his ancestral seat, which is something we're still waiting for him to do. But our boy's tired, you know, like, he's tired of fighting. He just wants to, like, sit on the couch and, like, take a second to chill, maybe pick up a hobby. We're going to work the land. We're going to become one with nature. Like, as long as Hild and Finan are there, like, I'm totally fine with whatever he wants to do in his, like, downtime.
So The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, who was your arsling in this episode?
Okay, I'm going to say Tira was for me. Like, I know the boys are off, like, doing some heroics to kind of, like, rescue her, but it's not like she's sitting in her cell, like, just waiting to be saved. You know what I mean? Like, our homegirl has a plan. She's got, like, her own, like, debts to settle, and we see that when she kind of surprises Finn and feeds him to her dogs.
Hell, like, yeah.
That is some Sansa Stark energy that I can totally get behind. So do whatever you want, Tira. I'm in your corner. You've got me. And that scream of frustration that she lets out.
I felt that
when
in my
her
bones.
Brothers are there. Oh, my God. Right to the core.
What a 2019 mood, honestly. That, yeah. Like, primal female scream. Just
we all know what that meant, ladies.
Yep, we did. Makes sense. I've got to go with Ragnar this week or this episode. You know, we kind of adjusted it a little bit from week to episode now that we know a little bit more about our schedule. So sorry if the change is weird. It's our sling of the episode.
Get over it.
Yeah,
we're doing this for you.
Right. Yeah. Ragnar, like, he completed his mission. He avenged his family. He kept Kiartan from entering Valhalla. Mm. I stand. Like, he
did everything right.
He did. He did it in the most brutal way possible, but that's not, you know, any less than Kiartan deserves. So
look, he had to get some kind of cathartic release from all of this. He's
and
been holding
he got
this in.
It. Yeah.
Oh, he got it.
Yeah. Stab therapy. Something to consider.
Yeah. It's almost like, okay, so, you know, like, you can go into those rooms
and
just
smash,
like,
stuff. Yeah.
Smash it.
Yes.
It's like the medieval version of that.
Mm-hmm. That's 100% correct. They just opened one of those in my town and I, like, really want to go.
I do too.
Yeah.
I feel like we should do that and then, like, come back and.
Oh my God, that would be so good. Yes.
Maybe for, like, a small talk segment.
Yes. Okay. We should do that.
File that away.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Get ready to shame none, the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane, anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, who was just a shitbag to you this episode?
For this episode, fuck off forever, Kiartan. Like,
yes.
It was super satisfying to see Sven die, especially at the jaws, you know, in the jaws of Tyra's hounds. But he went out a coward.
Literally the jaws of death.
Literally jaws of death. But he went out a coward. Like, he went out crying. But Kiartan, like, boasted in his awfulness until the moment he kicked the bucket. So it was just, you know, it was really cathartic to see Ragnar stabbing the ever-loving hell out of him. Like,
yes.
You are beaten. Either you die alone or together with all your men. What is it to be?
You wish to fight me, baby Ragnar?
No, I wish to kill you.
when you're that happy to see someone die that hard, you know you're a bad dude. So by Kjartan, literally no one will miss you.
Yeah, like, I know that everyone else looked on that scene, like, horrified. Mm. Like, they were like, dude, like, stop, he's dead. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I could have watched him do that for, like, 5 more minutes. Because yeah. I was just like, you know what? You
get deserve
this. Like, get yeah. it. Yeah. Who cares about this dude? Like, who cares about his body? I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're heartless. it's fine. I don't care.
Right. A little bloodthirstiness never hurt anybody. It's fine.
Yeah, look, the second he starts, like, bragging about how he abused Tira, I knew that, like, Valhalla was not in the cards, and I was so happy about it. Like, you do not deserve a noble death.
Nope.
You were not an honorable person, and the way you went was the way you earned.
Fitting.
You earned that in your life, yeah. So, bye, Kjartan. But I'm going to dub Guthrid as my turd of the week.
Fair.
Again, we said this a lot, but Kjartan, he's an asshole, but he knows that about himself. He embraces it. Like, he doesn't hide from that or try to be anything else. So there's that, at least. Mm-hmm. But, like, Guthrid is just, he's spineless in a way that is just cringeworthy. Like, anytime he's on screen, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to see you, dude. And he betrays Uhtred and sells him into slavery and then practically begs him to kind of start wearing their friendship bracelets again. And I'm just like, sit down, Guthrid. Like, you're not going to be friends. Like, it's over. You've ruined that. Like, bridge burnt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were my friend, and I betrayed you.
I'm just ready to kind of see the end of this dude.
Yeah.
Can we see the end of this dude?
Agreed.
I really want us to see the end of it.
Yeah. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Jessica, would you like to start us off in our thirsting?
I would love to. Okay, so we get this lazy morning sex scene, which is really nice. Mm. You know, I can't get over the dirty fingernails. Maybe that's because I'm sick right now. And so it's like, it's really like, you know, triggering. Like, she's going to get sick if he doesn't start bathing soon.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take a second to appreciate Ragnar and Brita's romance.
I love them.
When he sends her, like, on her way to, like, go kind of gather his men or what's left of them, and he just gives her this, like, just grabs her and gives her this, like, full-bodied kiss, you know?
It's a good one.
And then he gives her this, like, cute little touch to her forehead and to her, like, no. I mean, ugh. There's just, like, so many little moments between them that feel, I can't believe that was in the script. Like, it just feels very natural between them, mm-hmm. and that comes across on screen, and it's just, ugh, more of that, please.
We should kill him. Guthrid, the Turd King.
Do you never tire of menace?
I do not.
Yeah, their whole relationship feels like very sort of lived in a romantic
yes.
way, you know? Like, you can tell there's so much casual intimacy between these two, and I love it. Like, it's so yep. good. But yeah, like you said, like, this episode opens with, like, Gisla and Uhtred being beautiful and naked together, and it's great. Like, they have really good chemistry, too. Like, I think their romance is, like written more intensely than mm-hmm. like Ragnar and Brita. Like, Ragnar and Brita are doing the everyday together, and that's what unites them. But Gisla and Uhtred are like, everything is the end of the world. It's so intense all the time because they
right.
haven't had that time together to sort of settle into what their relationship is going to be when things aren't the end of the world. But yeah, like, I'm all about it. And, you know, you add in the swooniness of their wedding, and I'm just, you know, I'm gone over them. I love it. However, if we're talking about, like, general thirstiness, I've got to admit, for me, the thirstiest moment was that shot of, like, Uhtred and Sitric and Finnan, like, riding out of Dunholm victorious. And it's just those
yes.
three babes at the height of their power broing out. And I'm just like, hell yeah, I would like to subscribe to this newsletter. I'm all about it.
Dude, can we talk about the fact that, like, Finnan is going, like full, like, muscle tee on us right now? Like,
into
we're getting
it.
To see the guns. Oh, and he's got his hair slicked back, but he's still got that full bushy beard.
Yeah, it works. Like, maybe
it is a look.
Maybe having, you know, your muscles all on display is not the most practical of, you know, armor choices, but I don't
sure.
hate it. It's fine. Whatever.
But you know what? It allows for more movement.
Sure.
So,
right.
That's what we're going to say.
It's a tactical choice, not an aesthetic one.
Are you telling me that Finnan cares more about showing off his body than, like, protecting himself and, like, being a good warrior? No.
You're right. You're so right.
I think it's safe to say we've never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our friends, our family, and now you, our devoted listeners. Welcome to Geek Out, where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be reading and watching. Alyssa, what are you, like, standing this week?
Okay, this week, we've got to talk about another Netflix show is coming to an end, BoJack Horseman, which if you haven't watched BoJack Horseman, you need to watch it. I say that more to our listeners than you, because I'm sure you already watch it.
Yes.
But it's, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of put off by the animation because, you know, animation's for kids. This show is not for kids. It's for adults, and it'll ruin you emotionally. Like, every single season has had an episode that just, or more, that just leaves me absolutely devastated. Like, I always watch the new seasons in, like, one sitting because it's, like, you know, 10 half-hour episodes. It's,
it's digestible.
I get that I'm a loser, but, you know, sometimes you just want to watch a whole season in one go. But every single time, I'm like, it'll be great because it's so funny and well-written. And, every single time you rewatch it, it's, you know, you see a joke in the background that is so just exquisitely written that I can't even handle it. But then, you know, when you're paying attention to that, it comes along and knifes you in the gut with, you know, something emotionally devastating. So BoJack Horseman, they split up the final season into two sections. And I think one comes out in October and one in January. And I'm not ready because I love that show.
Yeah. And like, I feel like talking about animation, we see a lot more of it now. Like, we've got Big Mouth like happening. F is for Family is also on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then you've got that Undone show on Amazon, which is from the same people as BoJack Horseman. Yeah. But this show feels like the catalyst of all of that for me, just because it's just done so well.
I think Bob's Burgers came first, and I love Bob's Burgers.
True.
But
we've had The Simpsons and like Family Guy and things like that.
But I think BoJack Horseman is the first one that really showed that animation could be like deeply poignant and that it wasn't just for jokes. It was also for emotional catharsis.
Yeah, it's like you said, like, it will just knife you in the back when you're not expecting it.
Ugh.
But in the best possible way. I mean, it really touches on so many things, and it's fucking hilarious.
It's like, so funny. And I always love like trying to figure out, because there's so many people who are on the show and if like that just pop in for an episode or two. And I love trying to figure out who they are and then like looking it up afterwards, be like, oh, yeah, that really was Jessica Biel playing Jessica Biel. Like, it's so good.
Oh, my
good.
God. Character actress Margot Martindale.
Yes. It's so good. It's like,
love it.
It's so good. And it's one of those shows like, okay, so in the last season, there was an episode that was just BoJack giving a eulogy. And it's one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, 100%. Like, there's just, they take a lot of risks, and they do have these like kind of bottle episodes.
Yeah, like the one where there was no dialogue when they were under the sea. Yeah. And it was still incredible. It was still incredible.
Yeah.
So, watch BoJack Horseman.
So go watch it. It'll be around on Netflix for a while, but, you know, do yourself a favor and go watch it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to geek out about the Harley Quinn trailer.
Mm.
I know we've got, you know, there's some mixed feelings about Harley Quinn and how she's been, like, used over the years in different movies and things like that. I liked the trailer. Like, it's very stylish and it's like a crowd pleaser in that way. Like, it shows a lot of fucking great outfits.
Yeah.
It shows like this kind of formation of this team of like badass female, like villain warriors or whatever. I think there could be some problems with it, but I feel like I'm going to put my trust in Margot Robbie because I feel like she's really taken on this character and like wanted to do better by her. And this movie wouldn't have happened without her. And I feel like, you know, I don't think that it's going to be as problematic as like how she was in Suicide Squad. So,
yeah, like I watched the trailer for Birds of Prey and I liked it. I'm not super familiar with the comics. So like I don't mm-hmm. know all of the history of Harley Quinn. So a lot of my impression of Harley Quinn was just from the Suicide Squad movie, which I really sure. didn't enjoy. And I feel like that character was written to appeal specifically to men, you know, like mm-hmm. it was very male gazey and just the way that she was dressed and the way that she was portrayed. And I had a lot of problems with it. But I liked this trailer because it's very clear that she's like cut off the Joker. He's out of her life, which is great because I just don't want to see Jared Leto as the Joker again.
Ugh,
but I just in the way that she was shot and the way that she was dressed, just from the trailer, I could tell that there were women in charge of running the show. It's got a female director. Margot Robbie is super involved. There's a lot of female characters. And it's just there wasn't anything that felt exploitive in the trailer, which I really was just so thrilled about. But yeah, the cast is great. You got Ewan McGregor as the villain. I'm always down for Ewan McGregor. And like you said, I don't 100% trust DC at this point because like Aquaman was fun and Wonder Woman's wonderful. But like, I don't trust them to make a great movie at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for this movie so hard. You know, I want it to be great.
Agreed. I think it worries me because I do feel like they have so much work to do, right?
You know,
like from how she was treated in Suicide Squad, I just feel like they have so much like to kind of make up for and correct. And I hope that they can do it all in this movie. I believe that they can because I know that this was kind of championed by women and women are in charge of it.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, it's a DC property, so they're going to have oversight. And I just don't trust the studio, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like
there's a lot of ground to cover.
There's a lot of ground to cover. And I hope, like, you know, obviously this is going to be fun and it's going to be wild and there's going to be like a ton of great outfits.
Pet hyena.
And like, I know that this character, like what defines her is kind of like her crazy, like
chaos.
Wild chaos. But in the same way that like, I feel like over the years, the Joker has been afforded that kind of look into his psyche to see why he is the way he is maybe, or the bad consequences of that. I want them to give that to Harley Quinn too. Like, because as a woman who's labeled insane or crazy, it's a different beast. You know what I mean? There's more connected to it than there is like, oh, this dude's crazy. You know, like when we say this dude's crazy, it's almost with like some kind of appreciation or like, you know, fangirling about like, oh, he's so insane. Like, he's so cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think women that are labeled crazy are given that. So
no.
I want them to lean fully into that to make us like kind of appreciate just how like insane she is and the cool stuff that she does because of it. Or I want them to like give her, you know, a little bit more respect and like, I just don't want to see that she went crazy because of a dude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
Which is what Suicide Squad was. So let's just not do what Suicide Squad did, and I think we'll be fine.
All right, guys. If you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out over on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.
One, two, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.